From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now, and it's shaping up to be a very big week in Washington with potential action on immigration, reform of the National Security Agency, and possible votes on the Keystone Pipeline. In a few minutes, we'll look further down the road at how the new Republican majority might change their mantra over climate change.
But first, let's bring in Ron Elving, senior Washington editor and correspondent for NPR, who is watching all of it. Ron, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
And let's start with the Keystone XL pipeline, since vote on that expected tomorrow. What's likely to happen?
What's likely to happen is a cliffhanger where they try to get to 60 votes because the two sides, Republican and Democrat, have agreed to set aside the usual filibuster threat and the usual cloture vote if the Democrats can get 60 votes for the Keystone Pipeline. But now, this gets a little ironic because it's really not the Democrats, by and large, who want this so much. It's mostly Republican votes that would pass it. And they're trying to get enough Democratic votes to get it to 60. And that would be enough to send the bill on to the president because the House has already approved it 9 times.
And as we've reported, the Democrats are doing this. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is doing this to give Louisiana Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu an opportunity to vote yay and maybe help her chances to win her runoff against the Republican challenger there in Louisiana, Bill Cassidy. Why do the Democrats care so much about Landrieu's seat, given that they've already lost the Senate? It's not going to change the power makeup.
You know, you could call this a Hail Mary pass, really, on Harry Reid's part. Because the Mary in this case, of course, being, as you said, Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, she's a senior member. She's been chairman of the Natural Resources Committee. That's a big deal. She has advertised herself in Louisiana as a person who can get things done for the oil and gas industry in Washington. And for her to fail to have even gotten a vote for the Keystone in the Senate after all this time, that really is the last straw in a sense for her. And this is her last chance to impress the voters of Louisiana. Now, there's probably not a great deal of likelihood that it's going to turn that race around. She only had 43% in the first round of the voting. It doesn't look like she's going to get very many of the votes that had gone to third and fourth and fifth candidates in that race. Bill Cassidy is in very good shape, but this is their last shot, so they're taking it.
But they may end up with a Keystone Pipeline and no Mary Landrieu in the Senate.
Although, let's bear in mind that it is not certain that the president will sign a House and Senate-passed Keystone Pipeline bill. It's entirely possible he will veto it, and we simply have not got a strong signal from the White House one way or another. Some people are saying because he hasn't promised to veto it, that means he won't, but we certainly don't know that for sure.
Okay, another vote expected tomorrow is on reforming the National Security Agency, the NSA. Senators from both parties have expressed some opposition, with some feeling that this is rushing a very important issue. What's the debate on this right now, and does this have the votes?
You know, this would do something that is really important to a lot of Democrats and some Republicans as well, which is to remove that bulk collection of telephone data program that goes on inside the National Security Agency. This was the featured item in Edward Snowden's great book of revelations about the NSA. And so I believe that a lot of people would really like to have a chance to get this done before the Democrats give up control of the Senate. But here again, there is a strong group in the Senate that is highly concerned about terrorism and domestic strikes, and ISIS has made that group freshly empowered within the Senate, and they are resisting this. It's going to be tough to get to the 60 votes they need. That is a cloture vote tomorrow night, and there would be further debate on it even if they do get 60.
Okay. And Ron, what about what we could call the most controversial issue, which is what President Obama may do on his own on immigration? What is the thinking at this point? Is this going to happen this week?
It could happen this week. There are scenarios by which the president would wait until after Thanksgiving, even a scenario whereby the president would wait well into December until the lame duck session is over, so that perhaps the leadership of the Republican Party in the House and Senate could get an omnibus spending bill done that would carry us all the way through September and stop having all these little stopgap spending bills that we've had with fiscal cliffs every few months. They would like very much to do that, but some of their members like having that leverage over the president, so perhaps the president could wait. There's also a case to be made that since the argument has already begun and the country is talking about it and many of these immigrant families are being split up week by week as the deportations go forward, maybe it's time to resolve it. Maybe it's time for the president to put his cards on the table and say what it is he's planning to do. And I don't think there's much doubt that he will do that.
Which would not be unprecedented, by the way, for a president to take executive action doing this very thing.
You know, it's true that there will be a great deal of debate over whether or not the president is exceeding his authority with this executive action that he's contemplating taking. But, you know, if we go back to the 1980s, to the era of Ronald Reagan and the elder President George Bush, just 28 years ago this month, the Senate passed and the president signed a bill that was then called the Simpson-Mazzoli Bill, or the Immigration Reform and Control Act. And it gave a lot of unauthorized immigrants a path to legalization, but it didn't do anything for their other family members. So we wound up with a lot of people in split eligibility families. So in 1987, President Reagan's immigration officers essentially issued a blanket deferral of deportation for those family members. And then we saw that further liberalized by the first President Bush in the years that followed, so that the immediate effects of that 1986 law were greatly expanded by those two Republican presidents.
And as you mentioned, Ron, in this debate right now, there is a question about whether Republicans want to use this as leverage and maybe even force a government shutdown. Here's Republican Senator John Thune on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. He's saying a shutdown would not solve the problem, but it's not off the table.
Well, it doesn't solve the problem, Chris, but look, we're having those discussions. We were only in for a couple of days this last week. We're going to continue to meet about this. I know the House leaders are talking about it. The Senate leaders are talking about it. But the fact of the matter is the president would be well served not to go down this path, because he is putting at risk and in peril a real opportunity here to do some things for the country.
Ron, what it sounds like to me is that there's some negotiating going on in public here.
The Republicans would certainly rather retain control of this issue. The Senate passed a bill in 2013 with bipartisan support that the president would have signed, but it didn't go anywhere in the House. And that's really where the debate is. If the House Republicans want to pass a immigration law or even a piecemeal one, they could take a shot at doing that in the weeks ahead. But I don't think anyone expects that to happen. And the prospects for it are not particularly good when they get back in 2015. That's why the president feels that at this point his hand has been forced, and why the Republicans are certainly going to resist him taking those steps.
Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Thanks for joining us, Ron.
Thank you, Jeremy.